Hey y'all, welcome to Gather Together, and I'm your host, Katie King. Thank you so much for joining in today as we talk about a very hard situation in a marriage that ended up bringing them closer together and closer to God. Let's listen in on episode number 5. All right, so I'm here with Terry Hall. She is my aunt, and I feel like we're more like sisters than like you're my aunt. So go ahead and just introduce yourself.
My name is Terry, and I've been married for almost 15 years. This August will be our 15th anniversary, and we have 3 children. Alan has a daughter from a previous marriage. She's 16. And we have a 13-year-old daughter and an 8-year-old son, and they keep us pretty busy with all their social activities and baseball and basketball. So, yeah, I'm a full-time student earning my early childhood education degree, and I run a preschool. So, yeah,
awesome.
It's pretty busy.
Yeah, seems like it. All right, so we're just going to get right into it.
Okay.
And start off by, I guess, kind of wherever really you want to start off, the past 5 years, the past 3 years, wherever you think a good starting point is, like, for your story.
Okay. Well, basically, my story kind of starts from the beginning, but Alan and I met, and we had met probably in, like, December, but really didn't start dating until April, and we quickly knew that, okay, we're supposed to get married. So 4 months later in August, we got married, which is crazy. And he's 11 years older than me, so everybody was like, no way, you are not going to do this.
Right.
But I knew God had a plan, and I knew that's what I was supposed to do. So yeah. I had no hesitation behind it whatsoever. And we had a pretty normal marriage as far as marriages go. I mean, your typical ups and downs. But
right.
I thought everything was pretty smooth sailing. I mean, I thought it was great. And in November of 2016, we had gotten home from the ballpark, and Alan had ran to the store, and he was gone like an abnormally long time. So I got to wondering and questioning and trying to call and getting in touch with him. Well, I found out that he had actually been arrested for and charged with identity theft. Mm-hmm. So in a couple of minutes, my world kind of crumbled. I didn't know what to do, didn't know what to say.
Yeah.
My in-laws were able to bail him out, and when he got home, of course, I had lots of questions.
Mm-hmm.
And but my questions quickly faded because I didn't want to know the truth. The less I knew, the better off I was.
Mm-hmm.
And so life went on, continued pretty normally. For the next year, he had court dates, and I chose not to go because the less I knew, the better off it was. And looking back, I think, God, I was so stupid. I was so naive.
Right.
But I don't know if it was the way that mentally I was just choosing to deal with things or what, but I didn't ask a whole lot of questions because the less I knew, the better off I was.
So, like, before he got arrested, did you have any idea? You just thought everything's fine?
Yeah, I mean, I thought everything was hunky-dory, he had a great job, everything's perfect, I was a stay-at-home mom, I was in school, life's grand, you know, I mean, it was fine, and so yeah, my world was like shattered,
definitely.
And so in November, well, late October of 2017, he came home one night and he said, I talked to my attorney today and the district attorney wants me to serve 8 months in prison.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, no, that's not going to happen. Don't worry about it. Like, it's fine. And he always looked to me to be the positive one with things in our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was always, no, it's fine. And again, that was myself being naive and not looking at everything that was going on. I was just looking at what I wanted to happen for our lives, the plan I had. And he was like, no, I think this is really going to happen. And I was like, no, quit even saying it because it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, a couple of weeks went by and he knew that it was inevitable. He knew it was coming. He chose to keep a lot of things from me. Mm-hmm. Looking back now, I think he thought he was protecting me and our relationship.
Yeah.
In reality, those things hurt more that he kept from me than anything. But I can't fault him because I didn't ask questions either.
Right.
And I didn't, the less I knew, the better off I was.
Yeah.
And so the morning of November the 8th, he woke me up and he said, you know, I have to go to court today and I really think that they're going to keep me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, let's just pray. It's not going to happen, but let's just pray.
Yeah.
And I prayed and it was like, all God would allow me to say is your will.
Wow.
And so we woke the kids up and told them kind of everything that was going on because we had not told them really anything because they didn't need to know and worry about that.
Yeah.
And again, I didn't go with him to court, which now looking back, I'm like, God, I was such a terrible wife for not being there for him. But I couldn't physically and mentally handle being there for that.
It's kind of like, if I avoid it, it's just not going to happen.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that was my complete mentality with the whole situation. Like, let's just forget about it and it's not even going to be there.
Yeah.
And so the kids stayed home from school that day and it was election day of all days, presidential election. So I was wrapped up and that helped me stay occupied.
Yeah.
And he called me and he said, they're keeping me. And I lost it. I mean, my whole world literally shattered, like standing in the middle of our driveway. And I asked why. And I mean, he was like, because this is what's happening.
Yeah.
And I talked to his attorney and he was like, well, I'm sorry. And that was it. I mean, I didn't know what to do. The next 8 months of our life in the scheme of things is so little, yet looking at it at that point was an eternity to us.
Definitely.
So I had to go back in the house and I had to tell the kids that Dad wasn't coming back home. They were like 10 and 5.
Gosh.
So kindergarten and fifth grade. And their worlds were flipped upside down. I had to call my husband's ex-wife and let her know. I had to tell family. And every time I chose to text everybody because I physically could not say it. Every time I had to text somebody, it was reliving it over and over and over again. My mom had just moved out of state and she's like one of my best friends. And I texted her and she was like, okay, I'm on my way. She was 4 hours away, but she was on her way.
Yeah.
And so she stayed with us for about a week and was there to really take care of the kids, make sure everything was okay so I could be what I needed to be.
Yeah.
And we went from being a really close family at home to not being close at all. Physically. And I was very angry at God. I was very upset with myself. I was upset with my husband. And every time he called, he would just cry and say, please don't leave me. Please don't leave me. And I was like, okay, so I'm not going anywhere, but stop.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know, here I am needing the emotional support from him. Yet he needed so much more from me at that point. And I didn't want to give it to him because we were both so spiritually unhealthy in our lives at that point that we really couldn't do anything for one another.
Yeah.
And so after my mom left, I had a part-time job at our church at that point. And I came home at like 12 every day. And so I was sitting on the couch before I had to get the kids. And I just lost it. I was crying, screaming bloody murder to God. Like, why would you do this to me? Mm-hmm. And once I got all of those feelings and emotions out, you know, felt so much better emotionally, yet spiritually I was so dry.
Yeah.
And so a couple of days passed, and I felt really drawn just to start a prayer journal. Mm-hmm.
And so I sat down and I would literally write out my prayers every day. And I would be my prayers were so angered towards God for what he was allowing to happen in my life. Mm-hmm. And one day God said, okay, but you're not listening to me. You're telling me all your problems, but you're not listening to anything I'm trying to tell you. So I was like, fine, whatever. So I sat down one day and I had my notebook after I prayed and I just sat with my pen in my hand and I waited for God to speak to me.
Yeah.
And as he spoke, I began writing and it was things like, but you're my beloved and I love you and I'm here to support you and all these things that I knew, yet I didn't want to hear because I was so angry.
Yeah.
And so things began to become easier for me. Of course, we were falling into a routine of just being three of us at home. Mm-hmm. And, I was learning how to do the single mom thing. Yeah. And so we finally, as I began to let God work on my heart more, I was talking to Alan one day and he said, I started writing down my prayers and then started writing down what God says to me. And I was like, wow. Stop it. Are you really? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, I've been doing the same thing.
Wow.
And he was like, wow, okay. Well, then, so that made me be more determined to listen to God than ever. Because at that point, okay, God, obviously you have something to say to me that I need to listen to because you're doing this to my husband too. Mm-hmm. And so we both started kind of sharing, not a lot, but we would share some with each other about what God was telling us and about our family and everything and us individually. And we were able to really connect with one another on a different level than we had in a long time, even though we were physically so far apart from one another. And probably around January, God began stirring in me to become the woman he created me to be. And I didn't know what that looked like. I didn't really know what that meant because I'm a wife, I'm a mom.
Right.
I have a job at a church that seems pretty fulfilling. What do you mean you want me to? I am who you created me to
be.
Right. But in that, God started stirring in me to be with these women. I went every week to the Jefferson County Jail to visit Alan. And I would see these women, whether they were moms or wives, girlfriends, whatever, sisters, visiting their whoever was in jail. And they were so broken. Mm. And they weren't broken physically for who they were there to see. They were so broken spiritually.
Yeah.
And so God began stirring in me a need to help women in general know who they are in Christ and know who they are, who God created them to be. And I felt so insufficient to do that because God was just down doing that myself.
Yeah, right.
But yet here you are birthing this for me to help other women.
Yeah.
And, but the first thing that I noticed God doing in me was boldness. Like he started pulling out this boldness in me. And I was saying things to Alan that I'd only thought about, things like God had told me that I would have before never said out loud to him. Things to my mom that I would have never said to her. Not bad things, but, spiritual things. And I sat there and I was like, God, wow. Well, then, that boldness started overflowing when I would see these women in the lobby at the jail. I was able to speak to them and speak life into them.
Wow.
And so that went on for about 4 months. And at the same time, God was doing that same work in Alan. And he was birthing in him this desire to see these men that were in this jail that were repeat offenders never come back again. He was like, gosh, there's so much more to life than what you're doing outside. And so he called me one night. He was like, hey, I got this girl's number. It's so-and-so's wife. I need you to call her and talk to her. And I was like, what in the world? But God was doing something in our family together. He was preaching to these men in jail, and here I am in the outside world able to talk to these women.
Yeah.
It was so cool to see how God was playing that, a complete 180 in our relationship. And in about May, somewhere around there, a lady came to me as I was in line in the lobby at the jail, and she said, I know you're a praying woman. And I was like, okay. Yes, ma'am. And she was older than me, and she said, I need you to pray with me about something.
Oh, gosh.
And I was like, oh, Jesus. And I was like, okay. And she said, my son's here. And she had before told me a little bit about his story, and it was very tragic and very traumatic, and he had some serious mental health issues. And she was raising his daughter. And she said, I need you to pray for my son. And I was like, okay, you know, she's probably going to want me to pray that he gets released or something like that. And because those were my prayers early on.
Yeah.
You know, and she said, I want you to pray that God radically change his heart. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I lost it in that lobby. And I was like, this mom wants nothing more than to see her son radically change for Christ.
Wow.
And whether that's in prison or in the county jail or at home in a facility, whatever, that's all she wants. And I was like, God, this woman's life has been so changed. Like this, she's raising her grandchild. She'll probably never see her son outside of a prison wall again. Mm-hmm. Yet all she wants is his life changed. And I was like, that was a point for me where I was like, I'm so selfish still. Like, God, I'm so selfish because still, all these months, you've done all these great things in myself and in Alan, yet I still pray every day, God, somehow, miraculously, have him released.
Yeah.
And that's not what it, like, you have him there for a purpose.
Yeah.
And so it was so cool to see his purpose start coming to light because he was able to actually talk to that guy.
Wow.
And God gave him so much favor inside jail. It was giving me so much favor outside of jail. He was giving me the favor to talk to these women. He was given financially, people were blessing us like crazy.
Wow.
And so we were so blessed to see what God was doing in our lives. And it was amazing. But one day I sat down and I started looking through my prayer journals from the beginning of this journey to that point. And I just wept because of the way God had changed my heart from that first day to that point. You know, he had radically changed my heart. It was this beautiful transformation that he had. Mm. And God didn't make us go through this journey. I don't believe that at all. It was totally a consequence to an action.
Yeah.
But he turned this terrible journey into something so beautiful at the same time.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it was crazy. It was crazy, crazy, crazy. And, you know, Alan has an incredible story to tell as well about all that he learned about himself. But we were talking one night on the phone because that's how we talked. And we were sharing with each other some things about ourselves. And I said, you know, had we not gotten to this point, we probably would be divorced within this year. And he said, oh, I completely agree with you. We didn't care about each other. We literally lived the mundane life day to day to raise our kids, but really had no desire to be with each other and have a relationship with one another. And then here we are, so far away from each other, yet so much closer than we had ever been with each other.
Yeah.
And it was all God. I mean, it was incredible to see God do that in our lives.
Wow. That's so crazy. I can see being on the outside that before, I mean, there's such a difference. It's crazy you would think that being gone for 8 months and then coming home, it would not be better than it was before. You know, like, my husband just got out of jail and I'm pissed about it, you know, but like, I've seen so much growth and just, I feel like genuine love between y'all now that he's been home.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's been, what, 2 years?
Yeah.
And, I mean, y'all, I just feel like y'all keep growing each and every day.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, it was a hard road. But, yeah, looking back now, too, like 2 years later, I'm like, holy cow, like, we seriously have come so far, even now. And, like, Pete, you hear people say, like, when something drastic happens or traumatic happens in their lives, that the trivial things don't matter anymore. And they really don't.
Yeah.
You know, we have been able to look at things so differently because we've been able to see God move so much in our lives. Mm-hmm. And we really, I mean, the stupid, if you do the laundry or not, really doesn't matter.
Right.
Because at the end of the night, and we have our stupid fights about why didn't you unload the dishwasher?
Yeah.
Or who's going to take care of the dog today or whatever. But at the end of the night, when we lay down, we look at each other and we say, I love you. And we know wholeheartedly that we mean it.
Yeah.
And we're able to laugh and have fun. And our house is full of so much joy.
Yeah. That's
now.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So do you, I know you said you were kind of, you were like, you know, if I don't talk about it, if I don't ask questions and it's not really happening, do you, looking back, do you see it all in any way that, like, the Holy Spirit was preparing you for this, or do you just, you were just so oblivious, or you?
No, yeah, like, most definitely, because once everything started rolling in the direction of he may be gone for 8 months for real, I believe God started preparing me that, okay, like, it's time for you to step up.
Yeah.
Alan was my world. Like, everything began and ended with him.
Yeah.
And I depended on him for everything. I fell underneath the identity of Alan's wife. Mm. And that was one of the things that God started bringing out in me was, you're not just Alan's wife.
Yeah.
That's just a subtitle.
Right.
Here's what you really are.
Yeah.
And, so I do feel like the Holy Spirit prepared me for that journey, probably even before I even realized it.
Yeah.
That it was going on.
Yeah. And I listened, on another podcast, this girl said, you know, we are born again. That's our new identity is in Christ. And so when we go to introduce ourselves, it's, hey, my name's Katie. I'm married to Cole. We have two kids. Why is it not, my name is Katie, I'm the daughter of Christ, I'm, like, beloved, I'm flowing with His grace and mercy.
Right.
That is our identity.
Exactly.
You know, we need to step up and own that.
Exactly. Yeah, that was one of the things that God spoke to me every day is, you are my beloved, and I am well pleased in you.
Yeah.
And, you know, all these things that I had heard, I mean, I was a pastor's kid, for Christ's sakes.
Right.
Like, all these things I had heard my whole entire life. Yet they fell on deaf ears in a time when I needed it. But God is so gracious to remind us of those things every time we need to hear them. And Lord knows most days I need to hear it 100 times.
Right.
But He's so gracious to every day remind me, no, I do love you. I am so proud of you. You know, you are my child and I am well pleased in you. And I mean, His faithfulness truly amazes me every single day.
Yes, that's so true. So, what was the hardest thing, like, day to day, what was the hardest thing while he was gone? Even small things to, like, this is what I think of, like, wow, I don't have his dirty laundry to pick up off the floor, you know?
At first, it was passing by the TV stand in our bedroom, the chest of drawers where his clothes were, and seeing his wallet laying on top of the chest of drawers every day. Mm-hmm. Like, eventually I had to put it in a drawer so I didn't see it every day. And then it was that first few days doing laundry and finding his laundry in there, and he wasn't there to put it away.
Yeah.
After those first few weeks... This sounds crazy, and it's, I mean, you'll understand where I'm coming from because you know our family, but it was the not having him there to gripe about the laundry or the dish, and not that he griped, but we would always kid around with each other about, I was at home, and, you know, Alan's a clean freak, and I am not, and so, like, we would always, that was one of our biggest arguments was, why aren't you doing anything, and I'm like, well, I work, and he's like, well, you only work part-time, why aren't you doing anything? And so that not having him there and realizing how much he really did in our home was a big deal.
Yeah.
Every day the kids laughed at me because, like, I'm a list person and I'm a, like, let's make the list. And if the list never gets done, that's okay because we've made it.
Right.
And so that's all that needs to be done. So I made this, like, chore chart. And every time y'all came to our house, Colby would laugh at me. He'd be like, Terry, no chores are ever marked off of the chore chart. And I was like, stop, it's there.
Right.
That's all that needs to be done to it is there. But the kids really we teamed up and we were a team, and they really helped me maintain the everyday keeping of a household.
Yeah.
There were some weeks that it fell completely apart and crashed and burned, and thank God for my mom, who would come in town and say, let me catch up on all this laundry, or let me do this for you, or, you know, and that was amazing. And of course, family would come over and surprise me and have the house clean when I got home and things like that. And so those were huge blessings. But yeah, the everyday, just mundane life things was really the hardest things to overcome. Because he wasn't there to do life with me.
I know you talked about, there's a question I was going to ask about personal growth while he was gone, but you've already explained that. Like, there was huge revealings with you. And so I think that's awesome. So do you, I don't know if you've thought about this, but do you feel like there is still that calling for those women?
Oh, most definitely. Yeah. Like, most definitely. And I think that's one reason God has me in the position where I am today as far as work. Because I do run this Mother's Day out, and I see mostly moms probably 90% of the day. I work with women and moms who are amazing. I mean, they are truly amazing women, but they all have a story to tell.
Yeah.
And they all, we all need encouragement every day. And some days a mom just needs to be looked at and said, you're doing an incredible job. And so I feel like that's one reason God really has me at the school he has me at right now, because my heart really is to women, you know. And Alan and I were in children's ministry for like 11 years. And, you know, had you asked me 3 years ago where my ministry was, it would have been children's ministry hands down.
Yeah.
But through this, God has really birthed this ministry for women and telling them how loved they are and how amazing they are, and really seeing them transformed by the Holy Spirit every day.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's really awesome. So how did you feel in the weeks leading up to him coming home?
I was really nervous. We, baseball was over and school was out for the summer, and I was really nervous for him to come home. I didn't know what the dynamic of our family was going to look like. Here I was at home, the only one for the kids to ask questions to. You. If I wanted to go to dinner, I didn't have to ask anybody, hey, what do you want for dinner? Because it was my decision where I went for dinner.
Yeah.
And, or, hey, I want to go, let's go hang out at Katie and Colby's house. It was, hey, kids, get in the car. We're going to Katie and Coco's for a little while. And, it was those things that I feared would be dramatically different once he came home. And the fear of how he would be. You know, like, how is he going to react to being at home? How is he going to react to the kids? Like, I knew he was coming from such a harsh environment. Like, of course, like, I Googled and read all these blogs and stuff I never should have done. But, like, you hear of these people coming out of prison and they're hard, you know, and their hearts are hardened and their lives are hard. And, you know, the return rate to prison is so high in the state of Alabama. And, but, you know, I had prayed all along, okay, God, like, I know you're changing his heart and I know you're changing his personality and things like that. But, you know, I knew that we weren't going to venture back down this road ever again, but it was still that fear, you know, still Satan put that fear in me to make me question things and to doubt God and what he had done. And, that was, those were probably some of the hardest things that I fought with daily is, you know, how are we going to live life now?
And like, 8 months is like, that's by the time you're like, okay, I'm almost used to this.
I mean, I mean, we had, it was really funny when we started this journey, you know, it was in November. So I would make like timelines, like, okay, let me get to Thanksgiving. Okay. We made it to Thanksgiving. Okay. Let me get to Brooklyn's birthday. Okay. We passed that. Christmas. And then once January hit, basketball started. So, like, you know, yeah. we were kind of in a routine. We had things to do every night, then baseball. Mm-hmm. And so keeping me busy really helped me a lot.
Yeah.
And then spring break and then the nieces and nephews' birthdays, you know, all mm-hmm. those things rolling around helped. But then when school got out, like, here we are 4 months later, like, okay, what are we?
Yeah.
You know, or we had 4 weeks till he came home, and we were like, I was like, oh, shoot. Okay, like, this is my life, you know, yeah. like, nothing's changed in the last 8 months physically at home.
Yeah.
But our world's about to turn upside down.
Yeah.
Again, yeah. And, yeah, so it was really weird. I was at a place of, I was secure with myself.
Right.
Like, I can do this. Yeah. I rock single mom life. Yeah. I don't ever want to do it again.
Right.
But I rocked it when I had to. You yeah. know, like, God seriously gave me the strength to every day be everything that the kids needed.
Yeah.
And we failed a lot. I mean, I failed every day. But I would wake up every morning and know I have new mercy. Mm-hmm. And we can do this. And I've got this.
Yeah.
And God, you've gotta carry me some days, but yeah. we've got this together. Yeah. And I mean, we made it,
yeah.
and we made it through. My kids aren't like tragically injured or anything like that. Like,
right.
nothing. Like the whole time, I prayed, God, please don't let something happen to them and they get like physically hurt, and me have to call Alan or him call me, and me have to tell him that.
Yeah.
Or during that time, though, his mom was hospitalized and had to have major surgery on her heart. And that was a terrible time
yeah.
for him to be away from her and away from our family during that time as we tried to rally around and do what we
yeah.
need to do for them.
Yeah.
Yet, I depended on them so much
right.
in my own life to help me day-to-day do what I needed to do.
Yeah.
So, it was a hard little journey there for a little while Mama was in the hospital. But
yeah.
I mean, seriously, the Holy Spirit just like carried our whole family through mm-hmm. that whole season
yeah.
of our lives.
That's awesome. So once he came home, how were those first few weeks? I mean, even the first few days, like, how was that?
It was crazy. He actually was released on July 4th. So, true Independence Day
yeah.
was his.
Right.
And he was in Montgomery in a facility, so we drove down and we picked him up. They said, you can get here anytime after 8. Girlfriend pulled up in the parking lot at, like, 7:45. Like,
right.
we ain't playing.
yeah.
And so, they tell me to call when I get there. And the guard was like, you weren't playing, were you? And I was like, no, sir, I wasn't. And so, they expedited the process, and he was in the car with us by, like, 8:15, 8:20. And it was crazy, like, seeing him walk, like, the 30 yards down the sidewalk. And this facility where he was not like a prison at all. It looked more like a nursing home,
mm-hmm.
honestly. There were beautiful flowers everywhere. And it was just like a brick fence up along the wall, up along the grounds right there, with an opening with a sidewalk that actually went down to the office and the dorms. And it was about a 30-yard walk to the car. And it was all I could do not to, like, seriously jump out and just run out of it.
Mm.
All the way down that sidewalk. And he had told me before, he was like, do not get out of the car until I get to the car. And I was like, I guess he knew, like, I would
yeah.
act a fool.
Right.
And he was like, do not get out of the car. Don't embarrass me. And I was like, embarrass you? What? I would never do that. And so I didn't get out of the car. And he threw stuff in and got in the back seat. His parents were with us. They were driving. And Brody was in between us. And they hugged, and the look on Brody's face, like, I took a picture, and literally the smile on his face said it all. I mean, here he is, 5 years old, daddy missed kindergarten graduation. Daddy missed almost his entire kindergarten year, but yet the joy he had to just know that this was over. And I sent it to our pastor, and he was like, okay, don't do that to me again.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, he knew, like, oh, my gosh, you
right.
know. And it was crazy. We went to Cracker Barrel first because that was where Alan wanted to go eat.
Yeah.
So we went and had some pancakes that morning. And then it was pretty rough that first day. He didn't know really how to act around people. Even in our family who we were extremely close to.
Yeah.
He didn't really know what to say, what to do. I didn't know what to say, what to do. I didn't want to ask too many questions.
Yeah.
Yet I wanted him to know I cared.
Yeah.
Right. I think for about the first 24 hours, like, I didn't leave his side. Like, he didn't go to the bathroom without me, like, standing outside the bathroom door.
Yeah.
And I was like, finally at one point, I was like, I know I'm probably on your last nerve. Like, you've been with people 24/7 the last 8 months. And he was like, no, really, it's very comforting to know that you're, like, right there. And I was like, okay, good, because I'm really not going anywhere. But we had both made plans to just spend time together that first week with the kids. And so it was a good feeling to be all back together. Kinley had a softball tournament out of town, so we were able to travel to that. It was very hard for him to drive for the first few weeks because he was terrified he was going to get pulled over.
Yeah.
And had heard horror stories about if you get pulled over and, you know, they find out you just got released, then this is going to happen and that's going to happen. And so he was terrified to do that. So that was rough. But, he had a hard time sleeping at night, which was terrible because I would wake up and he would literally be staring at the wall. And I was like, what are you doing? And he was, he said, you know, he was like, I just can't sleep. And I was like, we have a king size bed. What do you mean? You've been sleeping on like a twin size, like thin mattress. Right. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But it was so, for about a week, like he didn't hardly sleep at all. And so then like my fear was, oh my gosh, what if he doesn't integrate back into society? Like he's supposed to. But he did, and we did a lot of praying and a lot of soul searching during those first few days, and a lot of melatonin and things like that, and just trying to relax everybody and, you know, make it comfortable in our home again. And it was hard for him because the kids didn't come to him for things, even small things. They came to me.
Yeah.
And so that was very hard for him. He is set beforehand. Before he left, and now, like, such an incredible dad to our kids. Like, he is an ever-present dad. So that was very hard for him.
Yeah.
To not, the kids not have that trust in him.
Yeah.
It came back quickly. You know, we all fell back into our old routines very quickly. Right. But it was hard in the beginning.
Yeah.
It was very hard.
Yeah. So since he's been home, how has y'all's relationship grown in these past 2 years?
Wow. We look at each other completely different. Like, we look at each other and know that with Christ we can make it through anything.
Yeah.
Literally anything together. And the little trivial things don't matter.
Yeah.
I mean, in the big scheme of things, they don't matter at all.
Right.
And to let those things go and just know that we love one another and we have Christ, and that's all we need.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we struggle. We're married.
Right.
I mean, who doesn't?
Yeah.
But we're able to say, you know what, I love you. Despite I really don't maybe like you a whole lot right now.
Right.
I really do love you truly with all my heart.
That's awesome. That I'll say, definitely going through any situation that really tests your marriage, when you come through that, like you said, the small things, I mean, they don't matter.
No.
You know, because when they're gone, you realize, oh, I miss that annoying thing that he does.
Exactly.
Oh, I miss when he smacks while he eats, you know?
Yeah. Alan's thing is,
right?
24/7 when he's doing something. And so, like, when he would start doing it, I would, like, almost tear up, like, after he came home. And I was like, I miss that so much, you know? But, like, before I'd be like, oh, my God, will you please stop?
Right, like, right.
It was something that was so stupid. It was just a habit. But now I'm like, I love to hear that sound because I know he's content and I know
that's awesome.
He's doing what he enjoys doing, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you so much for sharing all this.
You're welcome. I'm glad I could.
Yeah, I know I've been wanting to ask you for a while, but I just feel like this is going to be so awesome for people to hear. So
I'm super excited.
So at the end of each episode, I want to ask the same two questions, just like kind of fun to see what people are doing and stuff like that. Okay, so what is your favorite thing you're doing right now?
Oh, geez. favorite thing is probably work.
Like,
I love my job. That's awesome. I love the school. I love my employees, all the teachers. I love my parents, all the kids. Like, it's truly joyful to go there each day and be with them. It's so life-giving to be with a group of women who aren't catty and with each other and talking about each other behind their back, but we really rally around each other and are there to support each other and be there and be friends. I mean, it's really, like, I love, love going to work every day.
Yeah, that's awesome. So what's something you try and do every day?
Something I try and do every day? Like, what do you mean?
So some people have said, like, spiritually, you know, like, praying, you know, stuff like that. And then some people are like, I try and, let me think what someone said, like, go to the gym, or I try to put makeup on every day, or I try to do that, you know, just something like, something that you look forward to, like, I'm going to do this today, and it would, like, try to make it a part of your routine.
Something I do every day, or I try to do every day, is I've started listening to different podcasts every day. Mm-hmm. And so that's really been a highlight of my day, to kind of break up the monotony while I'm driving or whatever. Listening to something beneficial has been really great. Like, and I've really, typically when they're over, I'm like, wow. Like, that was awesome. Let me find another one, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm trying to do at least one a day so I can really start gleaning from other women and how they're doing things in life. And just knowing you're not alone has been amazing.
Yeah. I try to do the same thing, because listening to music while I'm in the car, I don't even do that anymore. You know, like you said, listening to something meaningful and purposeful, like, there's so much life in hearing other women speak.
Yes.
And just being there to uplift each other is so awesome.
Yes. And to know, I was listening to one with Lisa Harper yesterday, and, you know, she was like, I really think there's going to be vats of guacamole in heaven. And, like, truly, like, she's one of the best biblical teachers in the world. And, like, she really cares about guacamole. You know, like, just hearing that they are really true women.
Yeah.
And they really, you know, they're not so spiritual that this is all they think about or all they talk about. But it's, they're just doing life.
Yeah.
And they're just sharing their life with other women. And I think that's been so cool for me, to really be like, okay, I don't have to be this amazing, holy woman. I really just have to be Terry.
Yeah.
And that's really all God wants me to do.
Right, yeah.
And so that's been really cool.
Yeah. And realizing they are women just like us, but they have, because we all have the same calling on our life, to be the disciples and to spread God's word. They had just stepped up to that calling.
Yes.
You know, and we are working our way there.
Yes.
You know, you're speaking to those women, speaking life, like, you're doing that.
Yes.
You know? And so they're just like us. And
exactly.
We can do the same thing. We're called to do the same thing.
And that's so cool to think, like, God, you've called them to this, and we look up to them, but you've called us to the exact same thing.
Yes.
You know, like,
and it just looks different in everyone's life.
Yes. And that's so awesome to know, like, we all play by the same book.
Yes.
In life. And so it's so cool to see God really work that way.
Yeah. Well, again, thank you so much. I'm so glad that you came on and shared all this with me. So thank you.
Thank you.